Good afternoon, it's 4:30 and 37 degrees here in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Leanne Akers.
And I'm Keneally Roberts.
The representative from Moorhead will resign next week to take an administrative position with Kentucky's new governor.
Moorhead State and their Traditional Music Center are hosting holiday events this evening.
Students in Johnson and Jefferson counties have launched new apps.
Officials say coal bankruptcies could impact minors' disability funds.
Preventable death in the Commonwealth is on the rise.
In sports, Rowan's boys basketball team begins regular season action tonight.
Bud Luke has the stock report.
Cloudy skies tonight with a low around freezing. We'll have a look at your region's extended forecast after this news.
House Minority Floor Leader Rocky Adkins has been named senior advisor for Governor-elect Andy Beshear's administration, ending supposition as to whether or not Adkins will make a bid for the Senate this year. According to the Lexington Herald Leader, Adkins' decision also opens up the highest-ranking position for a Democrat in the Kentucky House of Representatives. Amid months of speculation, Adkins said he would be open to the idea of running for Senate after a strong showing in East Kentucky for the Democratic gubernatorial primary. Ultimately, Adkins chose the position with Beshear's administration over what was certain to be an uphill battle against Democratic challenger Amy McGrath, who has raised over $10 million, and Mitch McConnell, who has built a strong campaign over his 35 years in office. Adkins will not be finishing his term and will be resigning sometime before December 10th. An exact date has not yet been released.
The third annual Holiday Carnival at Moorhead State University will take place this evening. Set from 5 to 7 p.m., the carnival will have holiday treats and refreshments, pictures with Santa Claus, and activities for children. Shannon Colvin is the Assistant Director of Student Activities at MSU. She says there will be plenty of music as well.
There will be music presented by some of the area grade school or middle school kids, and also the Black Gospel Ensemble will also be performing for us.
Admission to the carnival is free, and the community is invited to attend.
The Kentucky Center for Traditional Music at Moorhead State University is hosting its semester finale concert this evening. The concert features performances from all ensembles at the center, with genres including bluegrass, old-time string band, and country. Raymond McLean is the director of the KCTM. He says the students performing are part of a living tradition that has been part of the area for many years.
If you look around the Kentucky Center for Traditional Music and see these pictures on the walls, you'll see a picture of the Kentucky String Ticklers. That was the Eastern Kentucky band that was the first group, as far as we know, that used a bass in country music. You'll see people that have huge history, an important part of traditional music history that you recognize.
The concert begins at 7 p.m. at the Moorhead Conference Center. Admission is free and the community is invited to attend.
Our Lady of Bellefonte is hosting its annual Lights of Love event this evening. Now in its 36th year, the event features a wide array of activities and music. Kevin Compton is the manager of public relations at OLBH. He says Lights of Love also serves as a great way to enter the month of December.
Essentially, the Lights of Love ceremony is the start of the Christmas season here on the hospital campus. We have a performance from the youth Paramount players from the Paramount Arts Center. In addition to their singing, the adult handbell choir from Advanced United Methodist Church will be on hand. And then the event ends with the annual tree lighting here on the hospital campus.
Individuals who donate $5 can have a Christmas angel hung on the hospital tree dedicated in honor or in memory of a loved one. Visits with Santa begin at 5:30 in the hospital lobby. Lights of Love will start at 6:30 at the hospital's front entrance.
A new club at Johnson Central High School is working on an app to help students find a lunch buddy. The Girls Who Code Club started this year for girls who want to get involved in technology fields. The members decided to create an app that will allow students to find someone to eat with during their lunch period so no one sits alone. Kayla Van Hoos is a sponsor of the club. She tells WYMT the organization is student-led.
During lunch, there'll be kids just kind of sitting in the hallway or, you know, sitting on the benches in the lobby just kind of by themselves or not really with, you know, their niche. So I think it's necessary that they have a way, and kids love electronics these days anyway, to pull up an app and see who's got an empty seat and, you know, find somebody to sit with.
The club is hoping for community support to raise money for 3 iPads in order to create the app.
A student at a Louisville middle school has created an app to help deal with food scarcity. Shraman Carr is an 8th grader at Myzeek Middle School. He was recognized Monday for creating the app Foodle, which allows people to take a photo of their unused food, decide what product it is, and save the location for a food bank volunteer to pick up. Congressman John Yarmuth was among those recognizing Carr. He spoke with Spectrum News at the ceremony.
Clearly, he has enormous talent, and he has talent in a field that is going to be one of the premier fields in our economic life over the next few generations.
Carr will be sent on a trip to Washington before the end of the school year, where he will be recognized alongside other students from across the nation.
The Pigeon Roost Community Center in Martin County hosted a holiday gift giveaway on Saturday. The event was designed to help families who are low income to get supplies and gifts they need for the season. Amanda Mills brought her family. She tells WKYT it was very helpful to her holiday preparations.
I know I'm very grateful. It helps out a lot with the kids. They really light up when they see all them big toys.
Around 200 people attended, and every family received a hot meal on the way out. We'll have a look at more of your region's headlines right after this.
Support for MSPR is provided by Downtown Moorhead Incorporated and the Kentucky Folk Arts Center, presenting the 35th Appalachian Holiday Arts and Crafts Fair, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. on Saturday, December 7th. A holiday tradition and open to the public inside the Laughlin Health Building on East Main Street in Moorhead. More than 100 vendors from Kentucky, Ohio, and West Virginia, handmade arts and crafts, antiques, seasonal ornaments, and decorations. More information on Facebook under Downtown Moorhead.
Experts estimate the Federal Black Lung Disability Fund is nearly $1 billion in debt. Minors and their families receive health insurance from the fund if they do not get their benefits from an individual company. As major coal producers file for bankruptcy, the fund continues to risk bearing the brunt of financial responsibility. Wes Addington is the executive director for the Appalachian Citizens Law Center in Whitesburg. He tells WYMT those who collect from the fund should keep an eye on the situation.
You know, benefits are continuing. But if the fund keeps going deeper into debt, there's a risk that Congress could decide that they're going to cut benefits or make it more difficult for minors to get black lung benefits.
Addington recommends individuals call their local representative if they have concerns over the fund.
According to a new report from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, rural Americans are dying more frequently from preventable causes than people living in urban areas. In Kentucky, the report says excess deaths from preventable causes jumped by more than 5 percentage points in all counties. Senior health scientist at the CDC, Dr. Macarena Garcia, points out that less access to preventative care and regular checkups mean that high blood pressure and early cancer are more likely to go undetected in rural populations.
This is really now the critical point, is they have less access to health care, specifically to specialized health care, and they're less likely to have health insurance.
Garcia also says rural healthcare providers and public health programs should work more to help patients by screening early for high blood pressure to curb early deaths.
Kentucky's drinking water was discovered to have the contaminant PFAS, which is often used for utilities such as food bags and firefighting foam. Evidence of accumulation in the body, resulting in cancer and disruption of the thyroid and immune systems, have been found. The Ohio River is where most of the sampling took place, which was subjected to PFAS dumping from a West Virginian plant from Chemours, a DuPont spinoff company. John Mura is the Executive Director of the Office of Communication for the Kentucky Energy and Environment Cabinet, and he says the amount of samples for PFAS and Kentucky's drinking water was low.
The EPA has set a lifetime health advisory level on two compounds of PFAS of 70 parts per trillion. Our results show no samples, and we took 648 samples, and we had no results that came close to that.
Mura also says state officials will work on monitoring potential sources of PFAS in streams.
A new facility in Manchester is open to help people dealing with addiction. State and federal officials cut the ribbon on the Volunteers of America Recovery Community Center on Monday. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell was on hand at that event.
Everyone involved in fighting the tragedy of substance abuse knows this suffering doesn't discriminate based on region or socioeconomic status. Kentucky has, as we all know, been unfortunately hit hard, and communities across the Commonwealth are stepping up to respond.
Governor-elect Andy Beshear was also speaking in support of efforts to battle drug addiction. Volunteers of America said another facility to help mothers, both expectant and new, battle drug addiction will also be opening soon in the Manchester area.
U.S. Senator Rand Paul wants to combat the rising debt load for college students by allowing them to dip into retirement accounts to help pay for school or to pay back loans. The Kentucky Republican is introducing federal legislation to allow individuals to take up to $5,250, tax and penalty-free, from their 401k or IRA each year to help pay for college or pay down student loan debt. Parents or spouses could divert money from retirement accounts to help. Americans collectively owe about $1.5 trillion in student loans. Paul sees his bill as a step forward to deal with the problem. He says it's important for Republicans to offer a plan to relieve student debt. His bill is called the Higher Education Loan Repayment and Enhanced Retirement Act.
A new report shows Kentucky is among one-fifth of all states in the country that have nowhere near enough money set aside to survive a recession. The report from Moody's Analytics released Monday found 10 states with greater than 5 percentage point shortfall in the amount of reserves necessary to survive a moderate recession. Louisiana ranked the worst, followed by Illinois, Kentucky, Oklahoma, and New Jersey. Rounding out the bottom 10 were Pennsylvania, Mississippi, Arkansas, New Hampshire, and Florida. Several of those states, including Kentucky, can trace their troubles to underfunded state pension plans that are now demanding more state money. Kentucky's need to set aside more money for potential hard times wasn't a main issue in this year's hotly contested gubernatorial election, where Democratic Attorney General Andy Beshear ousted Republican Governor Matt Bevin. Instead, the candidates focused on pay raises for public school teachers, pensions, health care, and economic development.
The Montgomery County Fiscal Court has passed the final reading of a nuisance ordinance. WMKY's Wyatt Melton has the story.
The vote was unanimous for the ordinance that will address junked, wrecked, or inoperable motor vehicles, abandoned mobile homes, rubbish, or residences with high grass or weeds. The Mount Sterling Advocate reports the ordinance became effective immediately in all unincorporated portions of the county. It does not apply to Mount Sterling, Camargo, and Jeffersonville. The fiscal court will assign an enforcement officer regarding the ordinance. If a nuisance is not abated within 7 days, the county may do so at the expense of the owner. The county is also authorized to place a lien against the property for all charges and fees incurred by the county. For WMKY News, I'm Wyatt Melton reporting.
Taking a look at your region's weather, tonight, cloudy with a low around 32. Wednesday, mostly cloudy, then gradually becoming sunny with a high near 45. Wednesday night, mostly clear with a low around 29. Thursday, sunny with a high near 47. Thursday night, a 20% chance of snow showers after 3 a.m. and increasing clouds with a low around 32. Friday, a 20% chance of rain and snow, mostly cloudy with a high near 47.
On our feature segment today, we bring you Our Island Universe.
Adorned atop many a Christmas tree this season will be a star. I'm Chanel Varani, director of the Star Theater at Morehead State University Space Science Center and host of Our Island Universe. The Christmas Star, also referred to as the Star of Bethlehem, is thought to have led the Magi to Bethlehem and to a manger where a baby had just been born. But what was the Christmas Star? Is it even possible to scientifically ask the question? The answer is, of course, yes. Many Christians believe the star was a miraculous sign. Some theologians claim that the star fulfilled a prophecy known as the Star Prophecy. Astronomers have made several attempts to link the star to unusual celestial events. Examples are a conjunction of Jupiter and Venus, a comet, a supernova. Let's look at each of these possibilities. The Florentine painter Giotto famously painted the Christmas star as a comet in his Adoration of the Magi in 1304. But this is likely the result of him seeing Halley's Comet in 1301. Prior to his painting, comets in ancient times were often depicted as harbingers of doom, so a comet as the Christmas star is unlikely. Another possibility is a supernova, the cataclysmic explosion of a massive star. However, such a transient phenomenon would have been observed to many people and likely even visible during the day. While supernova explosions are very rare, we do know the Chinese, for example, made detailed records of supernovae that they observed. However, supernova could not be the Star of Bethlehem, as according to biblical records, King Herod asked the Magi to point out the star they were following. A supernova would have been obvious to all, including King Herod. The Magi, often translated as wise men, likely means astrologers in this context. Today, astrology is a bunk pseudoscience where they attempt to tell your future after you've paid a fee. Instead, in earlier times, these astrologers were in fact early astronomers as they studied the sky and were familiar with the wandering stars, or planets, that moved from night to night. Moreover, particular constellations, such as those in the zodiac, did have meaning or significance to them, which is why we also refer to them today as astrologers. Nevertheless, for these wise men, seeing the planets in particular constellations would have had great significance. So what could it have been? The two best ideas for the Star of Bethlehem is either the triple conjunction of the planets Jupiter and Saturn in the constellation of Pisces the Fish, seen in 7 BC, or the double conjunction of Jupiter and the Moon in the constellation of Aries the Ram, seen in 6 BC. Both of these events would have been significant to those watching the skies and interpreting the motions as they observed events on Earth. It could have been one of these events that sent three men roaming across the sands to find a newborn baby in a manger in Bethlehem. Our Island Universe is produced at WMKY in cooperation with the Department of Physics, Earth Science, and Space Systems Engineering at Morehead State University, home to the Ronald G. Eaglin Space Science Center. Learn more at moreheadstate.edu/startheater.
It's 36 degrees here on the beautiful campus of Morehead State University. I'm your Mountain Edition host, Leanne Akers, here with Keneally Roberts and Cody Robinson, and we're coming to you live from the Larry Netherton Studio here in the historic Breckenridge Hall. Thank you so much for joining us on this chilly Tuesday afternoon. Shamari Mosley has a look at sports right after this timeout.
Support for MSPR comes from Downtown Morehead Incorporated, presenting Hometown Holidays in Downtown Morehead from 5 to 8 p.m. on Saturday, December 7th, an annual holiday tradition for the entire family. Local Main Street merchants will be open with refreshments and holiday treats, live music, caroling, and entertainment. Pictures with Santa Claus, wagon rides, and a performance by the Cave Run Symphony Orchestra at 8 p.m. at the Morehead Conference Center. More information on Facebook under Downtown Morehead Incorporated.
The Vikings open regular season play tonight with Montgomery County. For WMKY Sports, I'm Shamari Mosley. The Round County boys basketball team faces off against Montgomery County at home tonight. They've played each other to open the season for the last 4 years, and the teams are tied at 2 wins each. Sean Thacker is the head coach for the Round County boys team. He says his team will be focused on their own game.
Yeah, you know, offensive execution, definitely defensively, continuing to get better. Like I said, tonight's challenge will be post defense and rebounding is going to be a big key.
Tip-off for tonight in Moorhead is set for 7:30 p.m. Taking a look at other boys basketball action in the 16th region tonight, Ashland Blazer hosts Lewis County, East Carter hosts Lawrence, Fleming welcomes Bourbon, Morgan travels to Floyd, Greenup heads to Memphis, Bath County travels to George Rogers Clark, and West Carter hosts Fairview. In the 16th region girls action tonight, Raceland travels to Rose Hill Christian, and Boyd County hosts Huntington, West Virginia. All of tonight's games are set to tip off at 7:30 p.m. The Round girls basketball team is gearing up for their season opener tomorrow night. The team will face off with Marin Burnon College, a high school age team out of Victoria, Australia. Head coach Matt Stokes says his team has already been hit with injuries.
We've got one of our seniors who's hurt. We're not sure if she's even going to be able to play this year. You know, we've got a junior that's out. Besides that, everybody else seems pretty healthy. You know, they had a long break for Thanksgiving break, but just the way it fell and our scrimmages and all that other stuff, they got several days off. So the last couple of days of practice have been kind of ugly, so we're trying to get back to where we were before Thanksgiving break.
Game time Wednesday night is set for 7 p.m. Returning home for the first time in four games, Moorhead State men's basketball is set to host IUPUI Wednesday night. The Eagles will be looking to have a four-game unsuccessful streak against the Jaguars, who are 2-6. They are under the direction of interim head coach Byron Rim II. MSU head coach Preston Spratlin says his team is looking forward to returning to the home court.
We added it up. In the past 2 weeks, we've spent over 48 hours on a bus to play those four games between Missouri, Butler, William & Mary, and then down at North Alabama on Saturday. Glad to be back home, you know, glad for the guys to sleep in their own bed and stretch out a little bit, but instead of being on that bus and get back into our routine a little bit and obviously play here at home in front of our fans.
Fans who bring an unwrapped toy to the game to donate to Round County Christmas can get a ticket for only $6, while season ticket holders who donate will get a concessions voucher. The game sponsor is G&J Pepsi. Tip-off is at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Fans can watch the game live on ESPN Plus or listen live on WIVY 96.3 FM. The University of Kentucky's Lynn Bowden Jr. has been named the SEC Offensive Player of the Week after Kentucky's 45-13 win over Louisville on Saturday. Bowden rushed 22 times for 284 yards, which is a career high, broke the SEC record for most rushing yards by a quarterback in a single game, and is the third most in the nation. He had a career high with four touchdowns, which broke or tied with six previous school records, and set Governor's Cup records for most rushing yards in one game and most rushing touchdowns in one game. Bowden was also nominated for his second Manning Award on Monday. Bowden first won the SEC Offensive Player of the Week after UK's 24-20 win over Arkansas. And finally in sports this afternoon, a proposal that would strip 42 minor league baseball teams of their affiliation with major league teams has garnered the attention of a U.S. presidential primary candidate. Bernie Sanders met with Baseball Commissioner Rob Manfred to discuss the proposal, which would take effect after the 2020 season, calling the plan an absolute disaster. The Lexington Legends appear on that list. Legends President Andy Shea discussed the proposal with WKYT. He says his club was recently named the best Class A franchise by Baseball America, and they are staying positive.
You know what? I have not even close to wrap my head around that. That's a different business model. So right now, again, we have total confidence that Major League Baseball and Minor League Baseball are going to do what's best for the player development as well as the fan development.
The proposal has also received criticism from U.S. Representative Andy Barr, who says the story has drawn the attention of Congress and lawmakers plan to let MLB leaders know how they feel. And that's going to do it for sports. For WMKY, I'm Shamari Mosley.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics, online at msueagles.com. Men's basketball welcomes IUPUI tomorrow night at 7 p.m. and Marshall at 7 p.m. on Monday, December 16th. Tickets and more information from the Eagle Athletic Office at 783-2089 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the National Offices of Robert W. Baird. This is Bud Luke with your closing financial markets report for WMKY. U.S. stocks sank today after President Trump suggested he may want to delay a trade deal with China until after the 2020 presidential election. And the Dow Industrials did finish with a loss of 280.23 at 27,502.81. The S&P 500 was down 20.67 at 3,093.20. And the NASDAQ Composite was down 47.34 at 8,520.64. Your large cap stocks that have a lot of exposure to trade, like Apple, Caterpillar, and Boeing, were under particular pressure today. Chip stocks were also weak, and of course, these have a lot of exposure to China, as Nvidia, Micron, and Advanced Micro Devices all dropped sharply. At its lows of the day, the Dow Jones was down almost 458 points, or 1.7%, and stocks did hit the lows of the day after it was reported that the White House still plans on moving ahead with scheduled December 15th tariffs on Chinese goods, notwithstanding recent efforts at a Phase 1 trade truce. Today's losses added to a steep decline from the previous session and led to the Dow's third straight decline after a very strong month of November. In the commodities markets today, oil actually managed to buck the trend. It was up 0.625% at $56.31 on hopes of an OPEC agreement to keep production in check. And gold was very strong on a rush to safety as gold finished with a gain of almost 1% at $1,483 an ounce. In Europe, stocks were down, with the Stoxx 600 index showing a loss of 0.625%. Most markets in Asia were weak as well, with the Nikkei down 0.625% and the Hang Seng in Hong Kong down 0.2%. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was Fifth Third Bank down 62 cents at $29.49, Dollar General down $1.62 at $153.06, UPS down $1.29 at $116.53, Marathon Petroleum down 82 cents at $60.05, and Anthem was down $1.27, finishing at $286.16. Reporting from the National Offices of Robert W. Baird, this is Bud Luke.
Support for MSPR comes from the Recreation and Wellness Center at Morehead State University. The Wilson Bowling Lanes in the Laughlin Building are open to the public for birthday parties, youth groups, by-the-hour or per-game pricing. Cosmic Bowling features disco and black lights, open Tuesday through Saturday from 5 to 9 p.m. For more information and reservations, the phone number is 606-776-3457. Taking another look at your region's weather, tonight, cloudy with a low around 32. Wednesday, mostly cloudy, then gradually becoming sunny with a high near 45. Wednesday night, mostly clear with a low around 29. Thursday, sunny with a high near 47. Thursday night, a 20% chance of snow showers after 3 a.m., increasing clouds with a low around 32. Friday, a 20% chance of rain and snow showers, mostly cloudy with a high near 47.
And that's going to do it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. Today we had help from Tanner Boyd, Joe Lewis, Greg Jenkins, Paul Hitchcock, Wyatt Melton, Nacogdoches Miller, Zoe Hall, Jonathan Burton, Shamari Mosley, and Cody Robinson. WUKY's Josh James, the Robert Baird Company's Bud Luke, and our feature segment today came from Morehead State University's Star Theater Director Chanel Verani. Our theme music is composed and performed by Allison Brown. This is Morehead State Public Radio, WMKY, Morehead, Kentucky. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Keneally Roberts and all of the Morehead State Public Radio News team, I'm Leanne Akers for WMKY News. All Things Considered is coming up next. It's 5 o'clock.